Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish. I am a proud Queenslander, if you couldn't tell. And it's a beautiful day today. And I'm joined. So I think actually last time, the follow-up episode to game one, it was actually Joe Fitz and I. So two Queenslanders just chatting away happily. This time I get to rub it in to the face of a proud Blue supporter. It is the 2021 overall champion, Tim Moody. Timmy, how's it feel today?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Hey, it sucks. I'm sick of all the hate towards our team from our own state. I'm sick of the hate towards the coach, to individual players. I'm sick of hearing about how fantastic Queenslanders are and how unique they are as people. How special they are to get through such adverse times. Adverse, I don't know what the word is. Look, it sucks. Congratulations to you guys on winning another State of Origin. Too good once again. Hopefully we learn a lot from that experience. It sucks for us that obviously, Turbo went down so early. Not having Latrell there as one of our real strike weapons. He was our other sort of real strike weapon, considering there's no Nath there as well. And having him go down and Cookie filling in, bit of a strange one. I think he did reasonably better than I thought he would do out there. But, yeah, maybe could have stuck Cam Murray out there. But, I don't know what was the thought with that. But maybe his beach sprinting times, they thought he'd be able to sort of make sure no one gets outside him. But, yeah, look, that wasn't the case. But, yeah, well done. Just, yeah, sick of the hate. Sick of the hate from, a lot of the state. Get around the boys, show them some love.
No hate from me, obviously. I think it was a tough situation for the Blues. You know, when you lose arguably your best and potentially your most informed player in the opening couple of minutes, it's always going to be tough. I think it genuinely seemed to rock you guys. And I think the flow-on effects, Freddie didn't adjust in the ideal way. I think lots of people, you identified the Damien Cook shifting to center being one of the biggest questions there. I think
it stands out like dog balls, really, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's more the fact that after half time, he didn't change that. That's the thing that gets me, because he'd obviously, like you said, I think he was just put into a really impossible situation. He did the best he could, and he still scored a fairly opportunistic try himself, and that was in the end the only real points. Like he was fine when he had the ball in his hand. It's just, as a center, you're often required to make some difficult choices, like, do you catch and pass? Do you catch the ball and actually try to draw the last defender and then pass? And those are things that come with instinct. It's not just
I don't know how many tip-ons he would have done in his training drills as well. It's not something. So, to have to sort of try to pull that off and, just a lot of the time too, just sort of, it was hard for him to sort of play the centre role, I guess, which is fair enough. I'm sure he's never done it.
It was just a curious decision from Freddie, and the fact that he didn't adjust, whether it was his call or like the fact that no one in the Blues coaching staff really pushed for it to be adjusted, that's the thing that gets me. But look, I'm sure we could, analyse. And
like the weird thing is too, only playing Utekumanu for 14 minutes, I don't want to be like too critical or anything, but I just think I think he played 12 minutes, maybe 12 or 14 minutes. We could have had a Matty Burton there instead. I don't think that 12 minutes he did really helped out the boys in the middle that much. That then, we've solved a lot of problems there. But yeah, look, can't blame Freddie too much. I mean, he's got a decent enough record. Maybe he's made some weird decisions that are a bit questionable, but it was his job to make those decisions, and they're big decisions. So I guess he'll live and die by that sword.
Well, yeah, plenty of chat about him not maybe getting another series after this. This might be his last year as Blues coach, and look, I can understand why if that is the case. But at the end of the day, the Queenslanders were just too good. I think regardless of what the Blues threw at them, they just stood up. And sure, maybe there were some opportunities that if they had Tommy Turbo, they're scoring more tries than what they did. But at the end of the day, you can only beat who's in front of you, and the Maroons handled everything the Blues could throw at them. I think the number that stood out was, I think there was like 41 tackles from the Blues inside the Queensland 20-meter zone and only 14 for the Queenslanders. So you can see they either scored long-range.
We had a lot of good ball down there, yeah.
Either long-range tries to Queensland or they just were really efficient. As soon as they got down there, they scored. Whereas the Blues, they were camped on the line. They had more possession, like 53%, if I'm not mistaken. Like they had plenty of ball. They just weren't able to capitalize on those opportunities. Plus, obviously, the defense from the Queenslanders were just, it was next level again. So, look, it was a enjoyable game for me to watch. Probably painful for yourself. But
yeah, I'm happy you guys. Enjoy your moment. Enjoy your moment. We'll get our moment again. And, I guess taking losses just makes the wins even more special. So,
well, let's talk a little bit of the fallout. Obviously, the big one is Tommy Turbo's suspected torn pec. And he's,
sucks
they're
him.
Saying long, really, really sucks for him. They're saying it's going to be long term. So, unfortunately, that might have some flow-on effects for, the likes of the Ruben Garricks and that of the world. So we'll no doubt talk about that a little bit later. But I think the other thing there was, there were a few judiciary concerns there with, Addo Carr, Reece Walsh and Jerome Luai giving us an eventful final 2 minutes or so. But all of them just got fined, good old PVL and his revamped judiciary system. Basically, any offences in Origin were a lot harder to get suspended for.
Nice. I was stressed, man, because I went to bed, really upset about the loss. And then with Reece Walsh getting sent off, I've still got him in my side and really need him for the numbers this week. And I was just like, I don't know where I stand with this one. I don't want to go digging the rabbit holes of social media to find out. I'm just going to bed. But, that's great news to wake up and find out today.
I think going through the minutes played, there's obviously some question marks over who might back up. Now, Dave Fifita, only played 49 minutes this time around. I think that probably bodes well for him backing up. Obviously, as we see the mail come out over the next few days about who's going to back up and all that, I think he's, provided there's no injuries, that's kept him off the field. Only playing less than 50 minutes is a good thing for him. He played 65 the first time around, and obviously for him it was more the precautionary concussion symptoms that they were concerned about.
Okay, yep.
Big game from Carrigan with 58 minutes. Grant played 51 minutes, and Cotter played the full 80. So that's probably, Cotter's a bit of a machine, so he might turn out again anyway, but it's going to be quite some effort to play, although he is on the Sunday, so we'll have to see how he pulls up ultimately. I think the more interesting side is on the Blues. So Payne Haas played 67 minutes, which is massive for a middle forward, especially in Origin. It's not quite Paul Gallant areas playing the full 80 at prop, but it's not too far off.
He was busy.
He was definitely busy, game high runs for meters and stuff like that for a forward, but so the Broncos do play on the Sunday, so there's a good chance he may still back up, but I would expect his minutes to be managed along with Carrigan, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. I don't think there's anyone else. I mean, Isaiah Yeob did play the full 80, so I don't know. Do you reckon he'll back up for your boys? It's a pretty quick turnaround. He's playing second game on Saturday.
Yeah, I could see him normally wanting to give him a rest, but I don't know. Like, I reckon maybe they've got to play one of Jerome or him. I can't think of which one would be, he's really, really helpful to our ball playing. I reckon they probably rush Yowie and maybe Romy will play.
And what about Liam Martin playing? He played 61 minutes off the bench. So, asking as a little bit of a hopeful Zach Hosking owner still.
Yeah, me too. I really need that number from Zach Hosking this week. I'm really stressfully watching that one. But Hosking's named to play in New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, but Hosking's 18th man as well. So I think it makes sense if any of the
Martin or Yo. I really hope so. Hey, I really hope so. I feel like Martin might play just because of, he hasn't had much minutes in him prior to that. You know what I mean? He's had a bit of time off.
But I guess if Yo does sit, right, that still opens up more minutes in the back row. So maybe they'd bring Hosking back in. I mean, look, even he plays 50 minutes on the bench. I'll take that this week.
Oh, I hope so. Fingers crossed. It's the third game in the round, so it's not too late to panic. We'll get a bit of a look and see what happens. make some decisions after that.
Well, that's it. I think that's something that we're going to have to talk about later, and strategically how to best navigate this round when you are short on numbers or when you are, you know, sweating on these guys. So we'll come to that. But before we jump into that, let's do a bit of number crunching first. Crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clock. All right. Thanks again to our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant, for sponsoring this segment. If you want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. So actually last week I wasn't on this episode. So our good friend Maddie and Joe Fitzday took us through the numbers. So they did a bit of a deep dive into round 13 scoring and kind of compared, you know, what stood out, like who scored well, what were the breakdowns, what kind of players you wanted to have, and even like the roster percentages and stuff like that. So I figured, look, now we've, you know, fresh off round 16, it's the second big buy round, second round where we've had best 13 scoring kicking in. Now, I ended up with 14 players or round 16, despite, you know, pre-trades, pre-team list Tuesday, I thought I was going to have 15. So I lost like four players that didn't show up, including, you know, Marzu and guys like that. And all of a sudden I'm burning two trades just to get to, you know, 14 or whatever. And that included, you know, Sonny Luke. So kind of not really 14.
Yeah.
How did you sit numbers wise this round?
So I had 15, but that was really including Sonny Luke and Frank Compelle, who both scored 22 and 23 respectively. So they were the guys that dropped out. I scored 975. It was a really disappointing score for someone who's bi-planned, you know what I mean? I mean, I was pretty happy with a lot of the players I had outside of that. There was just some really underwhelming things like Sivo, 27, Will Kennedy, who I went as a pod over Gutho, 53 versus, you know, Gutho doing a 130 back-to-back. And, you know, I got Billy Smith in there with a cratty score as well. But, it's a bit annoying this bye period. It's not really sort of something I feel like I've been able to take as much advantage of than as what I would have thought. How have you gone with it?
Yeah, so I ended up with 1025, so I wasn't too upset with that considering, you know, I did have, you know, Sonny Luke as my 14th. So I had Billy Smith, I had Garrick, I had, you know, plenty of dud scorers in there. Look, I think for me, when I broke down the numbers about this, and I'll go through them in a little bit, but I think what really stood out is that there was a wild swing between really highly rostered guys, so like the Nico Hines, the Jermaine Hopgoods of the world, compared to a lot of the top scorers this round were actually like quite low ownership, right? So we're talking, you know, 3% and below. So we'll dive into that in a moment. But the top scoring player this round was actually Will Warbrick with 136. He's still in just under 20% of teams, but I dare say there'd be a bunch of those that are, you know, dead zombie teams, not active anymore.
Yeah.
Second highest scorer was Gutho with 132. He was in 12.5% of teams. Then you've got Hines with 129. So he was in 54.8% of teams. Then the next three scores over 100 were Tommy Dearden, 2.5% rostered, Joey Manu, 17.6% rostered, and Cam McInnes, 103, who's in 0.6% of teams. So only six tons this round. There were 14 other scores between 80 to 99. So basically across all the players available, only 20 players scored above 80 this round. So only two of those were over 10% rostered. So that's Hopgood with 96 and Ponga with 95. So they were in 50.3% of teams and 24.9% of teams. The next best in terms of rostership was Hughes at 7.5% ownership, and he scored 87. So it's really quite interesting when you look at the numbers for the round, like the top owned guys were like Nico Hines, Jermaine Hopgood, and then Josh Schuster was the next highly owned player. He scored 45. Then Garrick was actually the fourth highest owned player this round with a 26. Preston came next with 47. Then Jareem Buller, 43. Billy Smith, 38. And then Sunia Taruva with 64. Then came Ponga. So that's like 24% and above ownership, those players there. And you can see there's only like three guys in that group that scored well. You know, Hines, Hopgood, and then Ponga. Then you get to the rest of those. Like I said, nine of the top 20 scorers were owned by 3% or less of super coaches. So that's almost half. I think that I don't know. To me, that kind of says like you need to obviously have some of the highly owned guys, but maybe trying to get – there is some actual strategic advantage to planning well, aiming to have 14, 15, maybe even 16 for every buy round because that gives you two bites of the cherry, right? If you – you know, you have someone like Garrick who scores like a dud, they drop out of your – you know, if they're so highly rostered but you've still got three guys that score better than him, that's a huge leg up, right?
Sonny Glick scored more than Garrick.
Not on rescore, so.
Garrick, really?
For a brief moment in time, Garrick was outside my best 13, and then Sonny finished on 22, and then Garrick updated to 28 or 26, rather. So it was
well, that score is a dog, whoever scored that. I enjoyed seeing him that low.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, so my highlight of that all that is that Buller scored under 50 and Garrick scored under 30 because, both of them have been annoying to me.
So it's quite interesting. You look at the top 20 scorers again. So three wingers, three centers, four fullbacks. And I guess with those fullbacks, you know, Manu and Ponga are both available at 5'8", right? And then a lot of people have them at 5'8". There was four halves. So Hines, Dearden, Salmon, Jamin Salmon of all players, and then Jerome Hughes. Only one hooker, which was Brayley. And then five forwards, Hopgood, McInnes, Bloor, Nat Butcher, and Isaiah Papali'i. So there was a couple of tries in there and obviously some line breaks for IPAP. But it's a really interesting breakdown. And I think having reviewed round 13 and 16 now, like you definitely need to target some really low-owned wingers because if they go massive, like it's just such a massive leg up when you can, you know, if, let's say you had Garrick, but then you had an extra guy like Warbrick on top or Felter or Tupo who's scored over 90 points there. Like if you had one of those extras and Garrick's 26 drops out of your 13, it's just such a big leg up to have an extra 70 points.
So can I ask you a question based on that? I've got a very low owned player for round 19 who's a winger, but I'm selling him this weekend. It's Junior Tupu. He's going to be playing the Sharks that weekend. I just feel like with the amount of players, the attacking players like, you know, Brooksy and Appy there, I just don't feel they're going to be going too crash hot. So I think his chances of scoring tries have gone down. So that's why, I think it's just time to cut ties with him though.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a different situation, I think. If they still had Appy, they still had Brooks, then maybe different story. It might be worth holding on. But definitely, given the circumstances, I can certainly get around trading him out there. But you know, you look at the potential round 19 matchups, like Raiders wingers right there, hardly anyone's got them. And they're going to play the Dragons that round with no Ben Hunt. And, you know, who knows what's going on with the Dragons by that time. So that's a potential pod winger action. Rapana or Kotrick or whatever. Hopewadi, he scored 114 in round 13 as a massive pod. So there's some names you could look at there. The Titans play the Dolphins, although, you know, there'll be a number of Origin players missing from those games there. There's potential, I think, for some pod matchups, and I think it might be worth trying to plan to get one or two extra guys, maybe like just someone who's 1% or 2% owned, throw them into your team, but then have all the, I know it's easier said than done, but have all the popular guys too, right? So then if...
The ones that can hurt you, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So I'd make sure I'd have Asako, for example, but then do you throw in whoever's playing on the right wing? On the left wing for the Dolphins as well, because, you know, they might go pretty well against the Titans without Tino and Dave Fifita and all of that, and a new coach, interim coach now. So we didn't even talk about that. Des Hasler coming in 2024, but they've got an interim coach for the rest of the season with Holbrook getting the sack today. So it's never a dull moment in NRL land, is it?
I miss this. I've been like hard at work, not on my phone, being a diligent employee. Well,
breaking news right here for you, mate.
Yeah,
Justin Holbrook terminated immediately.
He seemed untouchable.
Yeah, well, not so much anymore. Wow. Desi Hasler, 2024 onwards, Titans coach. And they've got Jim Linehan, who was the assistant coach. He's stepping in for the rest of this season. So, yeah. Big moves over the Titans. I think that shakes up a few.
Oh, I'm happy for Desi, who loves the beach and can pitch his hair on the Gold Coast.
It'll be interesting for sure. Look, that's a question for next year, though, I think, unless, you know, maybe he's thereabouts and has a word to Jim and, you know, gets him to try some stuff out this year or whatever. But, yeah, like we'll cover that later. So, yeah, coming back to round 16, like I think it was a very interesting round because if you just didn't have a couple of these guys and you didn't captain, you know, one of Hines, or you didn't loop Manu, or you didn't loop Gutho, it made life a little bit tougher. It was just one of those rounds where if you got them, then you were fine. If you didn't have them and you maybe potted up in the wrong direction, it could have really hurt you. I think you rattled off a few names there that are disappointed, like Will Kennedy over Gutho. That would have been a massive dagger. You know, it was like an 80-point swing there.
See, my thinking was, you know, I thought that Moses was going to get the call up. I made the Will Kennedy decision 2 weeks ago, so I missed both of those big Gutho tons, and Kennedy scored even worse the week prior, like a 20 or something. Yeah, so I've missed out like on, you know, maybe like 160 points or something. I haven't really added it up, but that's just what sort of guess feels like. That one really hurts. I thought that Gutho, with being alone at para, not having Moses or Dillbags for a couple of games there, team might struggle, so just limit his opportunities, even though he'd be busy. Just I didn't think he'd be silky, so I thought I'll go with Kennedy in a full strength side, and just hasn't paid off. So he sometimes just get these ones wrong. Hopefully he can have a good couple of games over the next few weeks for me, though.
Well, not this week, but next week, you know, pretty tasty matchup. On the bye, pretty tasty matchup with the Dragons waiting for them. So,
and Gutho will be on the bye then too. So it's
Yeah, you'll get your revenge then. Yeah. All right. So get in touch with Carl, as tax time is fast approaching. Get Carl to help you with your tax refund, and he'll legally maximize it for you. Whether it's a basic tax return or you're accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on share trading, or crypto trading, Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. And look, it doesn't matter where you are in Australia, Carl can help you out. Using FaceTime, Zoom, or any sort of video conferencing software, he can help anyone no matter where you are. I mean, he's got clients who are international, and he's also got clients who live in the same suburb, but he's never met them because they've always met online. So distance definitely isn't an issue there. And also, if you need more than just a tax return, Carl can help you out with all aspects of accounting like BAS lodgement and data entry. And again, we've got Carl's special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners, $99 for a basic tax return. Or if you've got something more complex, he'll make sure to look after you on pricing as well. So yeah, let's jump over to captaincy for this round.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right, so last round, like I was saying, it really was a case of, I mean, majority of super coaches were on Nico Hines and it paid off. Or you were looping Gutho or Manu or someone like that. I think overall you'd be pretty happy. You wouldn't have been too upset if you had any of those three kind of scenarios there. I found when looking through and trying to prep for this segment, I was like, man, round 17 sucks. I don't know. What were your thoughts in looking at captains for this round?
I don't feel too shabby about it. I kind of like my options. The thing that's kind of annoying is, you know, obviously a bit of a grey area about who backs up, and if they back up and their team are putting quite a few points on early, do they just come off with, you know, maybe 20 to go? Or yeah, so look, the one that stands out for me is I've got Sean Johnson in my side, so I'm going to vice captain him against the Dragons on the Friday night game.
It's a great shout there. I think it was the standout option that I could look at. You know, I'm toying with the Cleary to SJ trade myself, because I do need numbers for this round. And as much as I was really wanting to hold Cleary, just at the end of the day, I've just got too many guys not backing up. You know, if Hosking plays, I'd be loving it. I could probably get away with holding Cleary. And
oh, yeah, that's a smart way to approach it. Yeah, and then if he doesn't, then you could make a move on that.
Well, that's the tough thing, is because the Warriors play first. So I kind of make that, I have to make that call sometime tomorrow. Hopefully the captain's run happens tomorrow morning and we can find out, you know, through late mail whether or not Hosking's in or not. But yeah, I think if it's not SJ, I think maybe even Chance, if you've got him, or maybe bring him in, like he's a shout for a vice captaincy. I think this is where, and dive into this strategically a little bit more, like the threshold for a loop this round, I think it's got to be lower. A lot of people only have, you know, 16, 17, 18 players, so you're not having massive AE nightmare options out there. And plus, a lot of the best captaincy options aren't playing this round. Like Nico, you know, you don't have a 150 bomb threat from Nico as a risk there. You know, he's not playing. Cleary's not around. Tommy Turbo's obviously, yeah, not going to be playing. And a lot of the other best captaincy options are all backing up from Origin themselves. So I definitely think you might look at looping lower than normal scores, and Chance could very easily hit a 90 to 110 or something like that.
So what's your number this week for the loop?
Yeah, well, I genuinely think, because I'm looking at maybe only having 17 at most, maybe only 16. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lock in anything 90 and above.
So last week, you know, I vice-captained Joey Manu, and he scored 117, but because Nico was playing and the circumstances, I thought he would outscore him, which he did, but not by much. I thought it would have been by more. But yeah, because there isn't that guy this week, I think I'll probably take, my number's probably going to be 100. I said it'd be 111 last week, so I'm going to drop it to 100 this week. If it's 99, I might take it. Or 95. I'll take 95.
I think it depends on your numbers, right? If you don't have any AE issues, like if your loop doesn't cost you potential points,
yeah,
I think that's where I'm happy to go 90 plus. If you've got like 18 or 19 players this round, and if you try to loop, then I definitely would be, you know, looking at the gap between your 17th to 18th to 19th player and probably need to bump that number up a little bit. So, yeah, look, going to the next game, I mean, Gutho's definitely in consideration. I'm almost thinking Gutho might even be a straight captaincy option as well if you don't have too many players later in the round. But vice-captaincy or captaincy, both in the mix there for sure. Any other names you can think of for that game?
Well, if you don't have anyone later in the round and you're a Gutho owner, you could straight captain him, but I'd still try to find a vice captain in the first game. If you've got anyone that plays for the Dragons or anyone that plays for the Warriors, just put it on them. And if it goes good, doesn't matter who they are, just take it. And then otherwise, then you ride Gutho. But then again, it's so early in the round that you could just vice captain Gutho. Assuming it goes decent enough, you take it. Gutho could be due for a quiet one. Maybe he's not. Maybe he does have a quieter one. So if you did just vice-captain him, surely there's someone else in your side that you could find and go, okay, I could go him.
Yeah, definitely agree. If there's no one that you could...
I'd probably prefer the vice-captain still because it's early in the round.
Yeah, no, you brought up a really good point. If you got no one in the first camp, then yeah, you've still got a vice-captain's guffer at least, because there's no point doing the straight C in a round like this where you most likely don't have, you know, more than 17, 18, 19 players anyway. Like there's very little risk to running with the vice-captaincy there as well. I guess if you've got Kalen Ponga, I think he definitely is in consideration. He's playing in the third game of the round. Any other names that you could think of from that game? I mean, I'm not sure I'm too high on any of the Panthers guys right now without Cleary there.
Well, the game prior, there'll be a fair few Moses holders, I think, still. So I think he'll probably back up. I don't think he looked like he got beat up too much. And Para, you know, could really do with him. So that definitely chuck him into that one. But for the Penrith game, yeah, look, I don't think there's too many super coach relevant players in the Panthers side that you could really have a go at.
Unless you're backing Dylan Edwards to, you know, maybe try have an audition for game three.
Yeah, maybe. Like, maybe. I couldn't go too bad, I guess. He's probably going to have a decent enough basey sort of score, like a 70 or 80, so and maybe a bit more if he does get involved in some attacking plays.
Yeah.
But yeah, from the Knights, you could give Marshu a go.
That's not a bad shout, especially. Yeah,
it's a funny round.
It is. It is.
He might be wanting to you know, whenever you've done a naughty thing, you start trying to make up for your naughty thing by doing other good things. So he might have a blinder to sort of try and make up for missing the bus.
Oh, that's a very fair shout there, and especially if To'o doesn't back up or something like that, and there's a, you know, if it's Jenkins or whoever else runs out on that wing again, might not be a bad shout there too.
Mm.
Moving on to the third game, I guess, you know, there's big question marks over Harry Grant and Cam Munster, whether they're going to back up or not. We've seen mostly that they generally have, but that's a pretty small sample size. So I guess even then, I'm not sure I'd want a captain either of them playing, you know, their second game in the space of 3 days or something like that. Any thoughts on that? Or
my other thought, the only thing that just comes to mind because of Munster made me think about it, like the Queenslanders would have had a pretty big drink up last night. Like they would have had a pretty big party. Like they would have been...
They were at the Caxton. They were at the Caxton for sure.
Cranking the wheels off it for sure. Okay, so yeah, I reckon...
So you're thinking Dusty Munster? Munster off a bender?
Could be a little bit dusty, but I'm thinking about bringing him in this weekend.
Yeah, it's...
You know, he's still got a job to do for his club side, and maybe he's, you know, he's not as old as I am, and maybe he can you know, have a day's rest and he's good. Usually having a big night out gets me for 2-3 days these days, but I think I'm at least 10 years older than him.
Look, it's a bit of a meme, but I definitely think the Dusty Munster off a bender, you know, he's played absolute blinders, you know, coming in with the disrupted preparation.
I see. So he's got that Joey Johns factor where it's okay.
Yeah, it seems like it. So, look, I think if he plays, I'll be very tempted to bring him in myself. You know, Turbo out for the Seagulls, Storm playing at home off a big game last round. Yeah, definitely a lot of temptation there.
They'll be on a high and want to play, I think, unless I don't think they'll be too beat up too. I don't recall or remember any of them sort of getting anything too, you know, over the top either.
Yeah, I tend to agree on that one. Otherwise, I mean, the Broncos and the Titans, I don't think you could really, I mean, the Supercoach guy, relevant guys are like Haas, Fifita, Tino, not too many other names. I mean, maybe Reece Walsh, if you held him.
Stay off Fifita, though. I'd just stay off Fifita, just because of the last time when they, you know, played him very, very small minutes in round, what was it?
14. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if Tino and Fifita come off the bench, there's no way you're going to risk the captaincy on them at all. Now, the next game is where it gets a little bit interesting because I would be very interested in looking at maybe Cody Walker for a captaincy. If you didn't have anyone else, I mean, it sounds like he's full go. He was even training last week, so I think there is a good chance that he's going to be ready. Obviously, no Luttrell, and having, you know, even though the Cowboys have been a little bit better, I just think there's going to be points on offer here. The Cowboys have not been as good when they've left Townsville. And, yeah, they're going to have to go down to Sydney playing the Rabbitohs at home.
Yeah, that one does stand out as well. I think the only thing that sort of made me sort of think, not straight away, was just because of that injury sort of. What was that injury again?
It was a quad strain. Yeah, it was a quad strain. And, you know, from the sounds of it, like, he wasn't actually that far off. And
okay.
And he started training, like, the following week, so he's been training all week. I don't think there's any major concerns from the sounds of it.
I just think it's an odd one. I guess maybe the Bunnies are just strict on what their players are doing, but you think with the chance to play Origin, if he wasn't that far off, you think he would have, you know, taken the field. Just like he'd probably want to play for the Blues, unless he's got some sort of real animosity or something from the past that he's held on to, where he's like, oh.
I don't think he would have, but yeah, no, I get what you mean. At the end of the day, maybe like it was probably too soon to play for that week, but you know, if he would have been okay for Origin, and therefore he's probably going to be good for this week. So,
okay.
I mean, he's definitely on the cards as a potential captaincy, but like I said, I'm going to look at some of the other guys and feel a little bit more confident in,
yep,
you know, being able to loop. Last game of the round, I mean, if Teddy backs up, then I guess, you know, maybe he's an option against the Raiders. What I will say is if Teddy doesn't back up, Joey Manu definitely comes into consideration, assuming he plays fullback again, right?
Yeah. So I think both of them would be great options, whoever does play in that fullback spot. The Raiders will probably want to sort of have a big one after losing last week, or was it last week, the week before?
Week before.
Yeah, the week before for their last game, I should say. But yeah, look, I think Teddy, he really sort of came out after last Origin and just, you know, had a blinder of a game just to sort of silence the critics, and you can kind of see him sort of doing it again, which will annoy some of the harsh critics in the Blues camps, I guess.
Well, yeah, Teddy, I mean, he had a big game in round 12 and then obviously not so good game in Origin, and then came out in round 14 and had another good game, but that was against the Dragons and the Bulldogs. I mean, the Raiders are a little bit tougher, I think, compared to the other two teams, but they've obviously still leaked a lot of points to fullback so far this season. The only thing I was going to throw in there, Joey Manu, round 13 last year was when he took on the Raiders at fullback, and that's when he scored 130, with 110 of those points coming in base and base attacks. So just a wicked game from Manu last year.
Fingers crossed. The annoying thing is, though, when do you reckon we'll find out about that? Because it's the last game of the round, so we might have already made our decisions on who our captain is for our side. And then if we find out after we've made our decision, oh, yeah, okay, Teddy's dropped out and Manu's playing fullback, that could be quite annoying to miss out on that. But you wouldn't also want to not make a decision and be relying on Manu and then not be able to captain someone else. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think it's very team-specific. Like for me, I'm looking at this from the lens of my team. I've got Cody Walker and Joey Manu at 5'8 at the moment. So for me, like, I'm going, well, I can probably wait on this. If the 24-hour cuts, Teddy's still in the team, then I'll probably stick to captaining Cody, right? Because we'll find that out on the Saturday Arvo or whatever.
Okay.
Now, if, and then because, you know, Cody plays the game before Joey, so that's fine. If Teddy drops out, then I can just put Cody to the bench and chuck Manu in, I captain him. So that's how I'm probably going to look at it. Again, you know, if anyone else that are vice captaining, like Guthrie or whatever, goes 90 plus, I'm probably just going to take that, bank the points anyway, in a tough week. Yeah. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, there's a few options out there. It's not as grim as it seems for captains. It's just, which is good, because I think those rounds where it just be like, oh, we've got to captain Nico, just, oh, you've got to do it this round, they're the ones where they're a bit boring. I like when there's so many options and makes it fun, and that's where you can sort of, some people can pick the wrong guy and get picked a sub-50 guy, and you can get the right guy, get a 130, and you make it up a lot of ground or win your head-to-head, whatever it may be.
Well, that's it. You know, you only have to go back to round 14 when, you know, if you landed on the Ruben Garrick vice captain, see you were laughing compared to a lot of the other people, right? So
Tommy Sangster, the OG, he managed to nail that one.
I was against him in some, I think, the Top Sport Charity League, actually, of all the weeks to come up against Sangster. Painful.
Ouch.
Painful. All right, let's jump over the strategy chat for this round.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, so look, we've kind of already dived into this, so I might just go back to this one there. I'm looking at the idea of how we're going to navigate this round, looking at trades, setting up your team, looking at captaincy. So, you know, again, I'm looking at this through the lens of my own team, but I'm sure I'm not the only one hanging on, like, you know, to a Zach Hosking, hoping he plays.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the only one who's considering, you know, captaining a Manu if he's playing fullback, that type of stuff. So hopefully as I talk through this, this will help some people work through their team and work through their, I guess, their plans for the week. So, you know, I don't have any boosts, like as I've shared plenty of times. I've only got the two trades. I'm down to 13 trades for this round. Sorry, for the rest of the season. So I'm looking
before at guys. Before trades or after trades?
Before trades. So okay. It's tight. But, you know, again, I've already got I've already got 13 players for round 19. So these moves I'm making aren't really going to be, it's not by planning. It's setting up for points this round, points next round, setting up for the run home. So, you know, I'm looking at this going, well, I've only got 15 right now. And that includes, you know, I've got Sonny Luke in there. I've got Connolly Lemuelu, the lemon. Mm. Now he's really become a lemon, back to the bench. That hurts. And then I've got Zach Hosking, who's 18th man all of a sudden. So, you know, these guys who I was counting on for decent scores this round. But my issue is I've got Hines and Cleary at halfback, right? So I'm really hopeful that I'm going to be able to set my team up. So I've got 17 exactly, but that's 17 in other areas and I can get an AE basically. And this is where, you know, you can set it up so that, well, if you've got someone from the first two games, you can just play them and you don't have to worry about, you can just captain Nico Hines again because he's on the bye. So you can hold off captaining him until the very last game of the round.
Mm.
So, and then like if you're getting an AE, you're getting the only one player that's not in your starting 17 already, right? Because like you have to start someone on the field at halfback and I'm going to cop a zero there. So I'll automatically get whoever's not in my team from another part of, I think you know what I'm trying to say there. So
I know what you're saying, yep.
I think that's the setup that I'm trying to look at here. So you've got to make sure Cleary's benched if you're doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, if I know in advance that Hosking's not going to play, then that's going to hurt me and I'm going to be like most likely going to end up with 16. So if that's the case, then I'm more likely going to trade Cleary to Sean Johnson because SJ's got not round 19 coverage, great run for the next few rounds. I mean, Dragons this week is fantastic. And, you know, he's got a clear run until round 22 when he's got his bye. And with Cleary due back in round 20 or 21, that's what we're operating off now based on the injury reports, and he's got a high break even, so there's every chance that when he comes back you might get one round to actually look at him and see is he fit, is he look, you know, going to be confident in the hammy and all of that type of stuff. And then, you know, once SJ goes on his bye, that's a perfect round to bring Cleary back, right? He'll have dropped a bit of cash and you'll have time to gear up for that. So I like that kind of trade there and that balance there.
If he comes back around 20, I reckon maybe we could wait around. He'd play the Dolphins at KO Stadium. But in round 21, he plays the Doggies, and I reckon that's the game we'd want him for.
That's a good shout. Yeah. So, I mean, look, that's still a 4 rounds away. So plenty of time to consider that and plan for it. But of course, yeah, that's how I'm looking at that particular situation here. Now, I guess, again, you know, if I've got someone like a Lemuelu who's on the bench now, but it might not take too much for him to get a start, for example. It just, it's happened multiple times where he's been on the bench and then just started all of a sudden. So I think, again, if you've got someone like that, you just, that means you've got a stronger 15, 16 players already, then you may not need to make any sort of panicked moves and trading just for the sake of trading, right? So I think that's where, of all rounds, you just got to be really, really careful with the late mail and checking in who's going to play, who's not going to play. You know, the 24-hour cuts are really critical here. Now, if you're on Twitter, you got to follow Stilesy because he's so good with those 24-hour cuts. He's always constantly checking them and he tweets them out. And there's always little bits that get revealed when the squads trim the team down to 19 players for, you know, 24 hours out from game day, because, you know, that's where some key players, if they drop out, like I think last round or the round before, Karaz was cut late, and then people could make decisions with 24 hours notice on whether they could, you know, who else did they trade instead of Karaz or whatever.
Handy person to follow and very nice person, Stilesy. Adam Styles on Twitter.
Definitely. So, yeah, just you'll find him if you search him up. But, yeah, I think that's where I'm going to start off with. But, again, if you get yourself to a point where, you know, you vice-captain someone in the first game or the second game, you know that's a loopable score, then you don't need to do anything at halfback, right? You could just stick with Cleary and Hines, Captain Hines, and you're set for that. You can focus
smart,
in other areas.
Smart there to consider that, yes.
I think that's probably the one thing that really stands out for me this round. So then, you know, if that doesn't work, then you could still trade elsewhere, but you know you've got to make adjustments to your captaincy plan. So my plan B is already Cody Walker / Joey Manu. I've already kind of explained how I'm looking at that. But I think that's where you just got to really, really keep an eye on those 24-hour cuts as they go throughout the round. Now, how many players do you have this week?
So I'm going to have, after making two trades, I'm going to have bang on 17. That's assuming that Damien Cook and Walsh back up. But one of those 17 is including Sony Luke that I'll have to play. So, yeah, it's not an ideal week for me. I feel like I'm probably going to take a hit. I feel like maybe Cookie won't back up, or maybe Walsh, because that say looked all right last time, and maybe, you know, by the looks of Reece Walsh running off the field after getting sent off with so much energy, I reckon he would have been the life of the party. But maybe maybe Kevy gives a week off.
Well, the good news is that both those guys play on the Sunday, so they do have the longest possible turnaround in terms of night's sleep anyway. They get an extra night to recover.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Sometimes that can be the harsher on the body, though, they reckon. So we'll see what happens, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess, again, in Walsh's favour, he's getting to play at Suncorp, so he doesn't have to do any travel. Cookie just has to go home. So, yeah, he's going home anyway. So, you know, it's not like he has to go home and then travel to New Zealand or something like that. It's at their home stadium, so.
I do also have Hosking as well, so I'd love him. I haven't included him in those numbers. I would love for him to present as a player, so then I don't have to play Sony League. That'd be a wonderful thing for my little weekend.
All right. So as we talked about before, obviously Tommy Turbo with this potential long-term pec injury, I think, you know, I'm going to treat it as he's not an option for Supercoach for the rest of his season until we hear otherwise. So fingers crossed he's around, but at this stage, I don't think he'll be there. So
gone.
That throws out the fullback spot a fair bit, right? Because I think a lot of people had probably tentatively penciled in Turbo as one of their two fullbacks for the run home. So that's a real killer there. Now, I guess it comes down to, well, what are you doing? Like, are you making any changes now? It sounds like you've got Kennedy and Walsh as your fullbacks. Is that right?
Yeah, so I really want to just hold strong with Walsh. You know, look, I was tempted just to brush Kennedy. He's got the pretty good matchups still. So I've got, hopefully, he's got the Dragons this week. He's got
next week.
Yep. And the Tigers the weekend after that. So hoping I get a little bit out of that. Around 2021, I will probably move him on to my final fullback, though. But definitely by round 22, because Sharks play the Panthers in that round. So yeah, round.
So your final fullback, who's that going
to
be?
It's hard to say at this point. Like, in my mind, it's probably Latrell now that Turbo's gone, but I just kind of wonder how he's going to return as well. So not too overly sure on that one.
So do you think, I'm just going to throw it out there, is it Teddy time? A question that comes in from a good friend of the show, let's just call him Wafu Might.
Oh, the is that the chaining ramp?
Yes, he just wanted us to talk about that little particular question. I guess he was considering Teddy this week if he backs up. But does that kind of just push Teddy into the conversation for a final run home guy? Or
yeah, I do like that. I don't think we really need to see how he's going either. Like, I mean, he made a lot of effort in that game as well. So club footy's been looking pretty good of recent. The thing I like about it the most is there's just something about the Chooks who just go on this run this time of year where it's the Chooks run timing their run to the finals, which is always just to, you know, sort of come eighth or seventh and make it harder for themselves. But they just seem to start clicking. So
okay, so you're pretty confident that we'll see the usual Roosters post-Origin resurgence where they're just absolutely going on a tear from round 20 onwards.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at their draw real quick.
I've got it here. So round 20 against the Storm. I wonder if there's a fair bit of resting post-Origin for that one.
Yep.
Then they've got the Titans, Broncos, Seagulls, Dolphins, and then round 25, Eels, Tigers. Tigers is the head-to-head grand final week, so round 26. And then they finish up against the Rabbitohs, the old enemy. They seem to always play that game against each other in the round 20, well, 27 this year. It was round 25 last year, I think.
Yeah, nice. Well,
so it's a bit of a mixed bag. It's a bit of a mixed bag for the run home.
You never know. Maybe in round 27 that when they're playing the Bunnies, maybe the Bunnies are in the top, already sealed up a top two. It's a tight competition, so probably not anything sealed up until the last round. But, yeah, they might rest a couple of players. I liked it for the head-to-head factors who people who are playing both overall and head-to-head. Tiger seems like a good matchup. Yeah, it's pretty mixed, but it's not too bad either.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was going to say over the finals, they've got the Seagulls, Dolphins, Eels, and then the Tigers, those four rounds. So it's for me, it's normally like if I'm seeing the Panthers and the Storm and the Broncos this year anyway, they seem to be the danger games where your players might turn up some dud Supercoach scores. So
if it wasn't Teddy that people were going to look at, I think the next best options would be, like, I think Reece Walsh, I've got him. I'd like him to stay a pod. I think a lot of people got off him. I'd like him to, I just think after coming back from Origin, he will grow a leg big time. Like, he will have even more swagger. He'll feel like the game's, you know, at half speed compared to what he was playing at that elite level, which I didn't think he'd go as well in his first two games. So I thought he'd still look good, but yeah, he's so good. So I think he's definitely someone people should consider. Still pretty cheap, probably not going to go up in any rush either. So his break even is 27, but yeah, I don't think it needs to be rushed in. He's 639K, so you're probably still going to get him for 700K if you wait a week or two anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good shout. The only thing you've got to note is he does have the round 25 bye, which is going to be tough right in the middle of the head-to-head finals there. But overall, I think it's a good shout. He's just moved up by default, right, with Turbo not there. And you mentioned Latrell, and I think there's a big injury watch on him, so I think you just got to wait and see how he's going before you bring him in.
Otherwise, people could have Gutho. You might just continue to have a look at him, see how he goes. He might be a season-long hold where he just keeps getting the job done. Why waste a trade if he's already doing it? If he's getting 120s and you're sitting there going, oh, I might want to get a guy who can get 200s, they're probably not going to be happening for you anyway with how thin it's getting. So maybe you hold on to someone like that. Even like myself, if Will Kennedy turns around and starts doing, you know, quite well, maybe I could look at holding him. I think it's just a sort of play it a week to week or watch a couple of weeks, you know, in brackets and see, make some decisions on the run.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good shout. The Sharks have such a good final four rounds that I think, yeah, Kennedy has to be a bit of a pod potential consideration. The thing with the Eels is they do have the round 27 bye, and then the games immediately before that are the Panthers, the Roosters, and the Broncos. So not the easiest
you'd
run.
You'd probably
home.
Get off Gutho for that by then, I'd say, if you can afford to. Yeah.
All right. Look, I think we might have to finish that episode here. Plenty of chat already. We might do a little bit more diving into the bye rounds and stuff next week. I do want to compare a little bit more about round 13 compared to round 16 and just looking at the best 13 scoring across those two rounds. So we'll save that for next round. But yeah, look, I think for me, trade-wise, I'm really at a point where I'm just like, well, I just don't know. I'm going to wait and find out who is available. And just it's definitely going to be a round where it's all about eyes up super coaching, isn't it?
Going
to make plans on the fly.
Big time.
Big time. All right, mate. Thanks again for jumping on. Commiserations on the loss, but up the mighty Maroons, eh?
Thank you very much. Congratulations, Queenslander.
All right, mate. We'll catch you again soon.
Catch ya.